All right, gentlemen, we are going to kick up some controversy today because I've got my card cleaning cloth out here ready to go. Might even polish your head up there with that teapot. Today we're discussing if card cleaning should be allowed. Hello, sports card investors, and welcome to another episode of Cards on the Table. I know, gentlemen, Teapot Doug, we've been looking forward to debating this one today because it has been all the rage in the sports card hobby over the last week. People have been talking once again about card cleaning and should it be allowed or not. And this got thrust back into the headlines because the Victor Wembanyama Prism Black 1/1 card was taken to PSA's headquarters to grade. It was taken there by NorCal Sports Cards. It got a PSA 10, and in a grading reveal video, yeah, NorCal Sports Cards shouted out Kurt's Card Care's products.
Yeah. I wanna give a huge shout out to Kurt's Card Care.
He makes sprays and cleaning polishes for cards. He got shouted out, he got thanked during the grading review at PSA's headquarters. That is pretty wild. Now, late yesterday, PSA's president, Ryan Hogue, came out with a statement about this controversy, and he said, PSA does not approve of any chemicals or foreign substances added to the surface of the card. So he is now definitively saying no to Kurt's Card Care, to Mr. Minty, to any of the other companies that produce these types of products. Cleaning sprays, not allowed. Cleaning polish, not allowed. At the same time, he went on to say, our graders did not detect anything with the surface of that Wemby card that they gave the PSA 10 to deem that it was altered. So he also said, we can't really tell if that card in fact had any of that Kurt's Card Care stuff on it. What a controversy we have on our hands, guys. What do we think of this?
Start out by saying the higher your grade is, the more money that PSA gets to charge you on an upcharge. So there is a bit of a potential conflict of interest in terms of whether or not they want to condemn this outright. With that being said, I think you have to look at this three ways: cleaning, restoration, and alteration. And those are three very different things. And I think people are conflating these and mixing it up. Cleaning, you're removing substances from the surface. What's the difference between using a spray that you wipe off that helps pull crud off and using your hot breath, which is also moisture on the surface of it? There's nothing except one costs money and one has your mouth bacteria. Like, there's no other difference. So to me, those, no problem with that whatsoever. Microfiber, get it off. Restoration, if you're not familiar, people aren't familiar, what Kurt does, and he's like a wizard in my opinion, he uses like these cardboard pieces to, he's not pressing the card, but he's adding water actually, or moisture, and he's kind of bringing a card back to life. It actually helps pull wrinkles out, flatten things out. Cards that have been pressed for a long time in a screw down, it'll actually tighten them up a little bit. This is something used in art, in fine art and other. He didn't invent this technique. I don't have a problem with this either. I think people get bent out of shape. I have no problem with it whatsoever. The water evaporates, the card is brought back to life. It's resuscitation, it's resurrection. And alteration is a totally different, and this is where the polish, we get into the conversation with the polish. If you go to Kurt's FAQs, it says, this doesn't leave anything on the card. Well, he's buffing out micro scratches and things. It's either buffing and removing the card, pieces of the card, or it's leaving polish. I don't know what that, you know, would be classified as. That's where I think there's a question about integrity and disclosure and whether or not you need to do that.
Okay.
I will say Peter from SGC said in an interview with Neo that if they can't detect it, what are they supposed to do? Ostensibly, the other grading companies have the same attitude. So the cards look nice, they're shiny. I don't want to cut corners on cards. I don't want to recolor cards. The only thing questionable here to me is the polish.
Is that questionable to you, Doug, or is all of this questionable? What's your take on this?
It's not all questionable. I mean, this is obviously a very controversial topic, but incredible marketing. Kurt is going to have more orders than ever.
He has probably got a zillion orders of his Card Care kits.
He's going to have to shut down probably for a month or so to catch up.
A year backlog.
Yeah, 100%. I think where the hobby kind of stands, you know, it's interesting. We talk about fine art and they allow restorations. We talk about something even closer to cards like comic books where they allow pressing. And sports cards, we're not very lenient at all, right? You know, some people don't even like you wiping it off with a microfiber and some, you know, some type of moisture, some type of spray application. I think trimming and sort of like coloring or altering the color are clearly not allowed. That's clearly not okay. But there's a real gray area when it comes to what you were talking about, you know, buffing out scratches or things of that nature.
Look, I agree with you. Absolutely no to trimming. Absolutely no to recoloring, to those forms of alteration. But look, guys, I am now in the camp that I believe cleaning a card should be okay. I want to see PSA actually rethink their stance on this. And look, like Teapot, I am taking cues from the art world, because I am a big believer that sports cards are a modern day form of art. A lot of these practices around cleaning and restoration are widely accepted in the art world. They've been taboo in the sports card world, but a lot of people are doing it anyway. And if the grading companies can't detect it, which it seems like the grading companies have no mechanism for detecting cleaning, I think cleaning should be permitted. I know this is going to be controversial. I know, you know, this goes against what PSA said yesterday. I really think they need to rethink their stance on this. I think the world of sports cards has changed a bit. I would like to see PSA go as far as actually endorsing certain products or having their own line of cleaning products, which are PSA approved simply to clean. I'm not talking about, you know, recoloring. I'm not talking about making major alterations to the card. I'm just talking about cleaning. Can you imagine if PSA in their store had approved cleaning products? First of all, they probably sell a zillion of them. This would be a completely new revenue stream for PSA. But I think that's what has to happen. I think it should be allowed if it's a product that doesn't leave anything on the surface, that is simply helping clean and shine the card and frankly restore it to how that card should have been originally anyway, coming off of the printing press. If we're restoring it to that condition, I'm okay with it. If we're trimming it, if we're altering it, I am not okay with it at all. But look, I know these comments are going to be controversial, and shout out to Neo Sports Cards, by the way. He suggested that idea of, you know, PSA maybe endorsing products. I actually think it's a good idea. I know these comments are going to be controversial. I don't know. We'll see what you guys think in the comments. I'm sure there's a lot of comments right now going on about whether this should be allowed or not. A lot of hobby purists, I'm sure, that think this conversation, even having it, is taboo. But we'll see what people say. I'll tell you guys what is not taboo is what is happening right now at PWCC, because they've got another wonderful weekly auction with some amazing cards in it, including they've got our guy here in Atlanta, Ronald Acuña Jr. He is going to be healthy for the season. There was that scare, but he's back. Hopefully he does another 40 home runs, 70 stolen bases this year. How about his first Bowman, the blue out of 150, in a BGS 10 pristine? That is in PWCC's weekly auction right now, ending this weekend. That's a big card. What do you have your eye on, Teapot?
So Acuña is number one in MVP odds this year. Number two is Mookie Betts, who was second last year, and he's got a couple really good 2014 Bowman Chrome autos. I'm looking at his Black Refractor. It's a rookie auto. It's a PSA Auto 9 authentic grade, but it's black, number to 99. Those are super sharp looking cards.
Yeah, that's a good one to have before the season. You going in a different direction, Doug?
A little bit of different direction. Okay. Two birds, one stone for me. I'm always talking about what I don't have in my collection that I absolutely have to have. I need either a Jordan Auto or I need a Kobe Auto. How about this 2001 SP Authentic Dual Auto Jordan and Kobe in a PSA
slab? That's a big card.
It's out of 50. It's a massive card. Obviously, I'm probably not going to be able to get that one, but if I could pick anything out of the auction, I'm taking that.
That's a beautiful card. All of those, all of those cards and many more are in PWCC's weekly auction ending this Saturday, or Sunday rather, ending this Sunday. Check it out. The link is in the show description below, and it is on PWCC Marketplace. All right, guys, I want to move into Data Dive. This is a little controversial, Teapot. You made a statement this past Sunday in Data Dive. You're talking about the best rookie class to invest in now, and you called out the 2018 basketball rookie class as, I mean, you were comparing it to like Jordan's rookie class of 1984. Like, you were making LeBron's rookie class of 2003. I mean, you were making some wild comparisons here. But you're locked in on this. Tell us, tell Doug and I and the audience why we should be investing in 2018 basketball cards, and Doug and I will comment as to whether we actually think that's the year that needs attention or not.
Yeah, I mean, well, I'm probably a little partial. I got back into the hobby when that rookie class was, you know, coming in. Very similar for me to 1996, which is like right when I started to get really into cards as a kid. And that was Kobe's year. I actually think 96 might be the best overall draft class in history, depth-wise, just tons of talent. And 2018 looks like that to me. It's top-heavy with Luka and Shea. These two guys are looking like perennial MVP candidates now going forward. You know, top five type players in the NBA.
Please mention our Atlanta guy, Trae Young.
Trae Young has been on a downward trajectory. Maybe if he goes to the Lakers or something. You know, you've got Jalen Brunson. There's a ton of players in this draft class. And it seems like every year, some guys lately, Dante DiVincenzo has been coming back to life for the Knicks and playing really well in their starting rotation. So it's very deep. Jaren Jackson Jr., Mikal Bridges,
Kevin Knox
for sure lighten it up. So, you know, I look at that and then I go back to your old adage and what we've discussed, which is look at sealed wax, how it withstands even some of the football classes that haven't held up well. The wax has still gone up. So this to me, when I look at it, is hedged into two, maybe more, really good all-time type talented players. And then it's really deep as well. So there's a lot of value in it. It's also before Panini products were printed to the moon.
Yep.
And before they totally adulterated all of the parallels and everything.
Yes.
So I like it. I think it has a lot of sentimentality for people who got back into the hobby then.
Okay. Doug, are you feeling like 2018 is the best recent class to invest in?
Yeah. And to, you know, add to that, I think two things were important that you just said there. One, it's before the print runs got really, really crazy.
Yeah.
And I think another thing to look at is what's happened after that. 2019 was another one with a lot of promise, but hasn't panned out exactly the same way yet. Right. But then every subsequent class hasn't been really great.
No.
I mean, Wimby is holding this particular class up, and I think next class is going to be even worse than what we've seen in the past few years. But we might go on a really long dry spell before we're having a class that even compares to 2019, let alone 2018.
Yeah.
So I think that creates a big delta as well, where you start, you know, trying to go back to the years and find that next great class, and 2018 is probably going to be it for a while, from what it looks like. Also, just so you know, Kevin Knox's younger brother, Carter, just committed to Kentucky. So,
all right.
Really big news.
Keep talking about that family for years to come.
Yes.
I think the one thing we might be missing is that when you go back and you compare to these other classes, 84 had Jordan, 96 had Kobe, 2003 had LeBron, right?
Right.
Those were the comparisons.
Yeah.
Are Luka or Shea ever going to get to those levels? There's a lot of question mark there. If they don't, then it will never be looked at as a draft class that's comparable. It just never will be, because it won't have the top end star power. And we don't know if Shea and Luka will. They're still got. I mean, I know Shea's playing great this year, MVP candidate.
Yeah.
Oklahoma City's doing great, but they still got a lot to go. We'll
see.
There's
a graphic going around right now. Shea's stats this year in Jordan's same exact year are like identical, except Shea's shooting 5% better. Offense is more efficient today. Very similar stats. It's interesting.
I can't believe you just compared Shea Gilgeous-Alexander and Michael Jordan.
Who wouldn't?
Number one seed in the West, baby.
I wouldn't be surprised if 10 years from now we look back on this conversation and say the obvious answer was 2023 because of Victor Wembanyama.
I think that
because if
like
Wembanyama becomes a talent of the ilk and he's got the greater upside, then people will look at 2023 and go, oh, Wembanyama, best, you know,
incredible,
right? Incredible. I don't know. We'll see. I don't know. Let us know what you guys think in the comments. Very curious to hear your reaction to all of that. And I also want to let you guys know that we have hit some really just stupid, I think the only way to describe this is stupid cards on our Cards HQ Breaks channel on Whatnot. We hit the Paul Skeens Bowman Super Fractor, first Bowman, the number one draft pick in the Major League Baseball draft. We hit his one of one Super Fractor on Whatnot in the Cards HQ Breaks, and we hit the Super Fractor Auto. Unbelievable cards. You guys should join in on the fun. It's our Cards HQ Breaks channel on Whatnot, and actually we're live right now. Right this second while you're watching this, anytime Thursday night, Friday night, we're live on Whatnot. Scan that QR code. Use the link in the show description below to join our breaks. All right, guys, let's talk about NFL free agency, because there's been a lot of free agency movement over the last week. It feels like it's been a very active free agency period. I mean, big names. You got Kirk Cousins coming here to Atlanta to serve as the backup for Desmond Ridder. You got Saquon Barkley going to Philly. You got Derrick Henry going to Baltimore. Josh Jacobs is now in Green Bay. Sam Darnold is in Minnesota. Going to light up that division. All kinds of crazy things happening here in free agency. My question to you is how will these different movements affect card prices? Which player of the ones I just mentioned, or maybe there's someone else out there, which player do you think is going to benefit the most in terms of card prices? T-Pot, I'm going to start with you.
All right, you mentioned a lot of the right names. I think with Cousins coming here, I'm interested in the role players. You know, Bijan, Pitts, Drake. Mm-hmm. Those three guys, I want to see how they do and how their card prices stack up. I'm really excited about Derrick Henry to the Ravens.
Yeah.
I'm also nervous as a Chiefs fan that gets them another level mm-hmm. up. You're talking about literally the best between the tackles rusher of the last decade with the best run pass option quarterback in the NFL. That is scary. He can hand it off. He can take it outside himself, Lamar. And it's a similar situation with Saquon and Jalen Hurts now. Very similar. So those two guys, I think that's really interesting. This is all about running backs. You got Mixon to the Texans. You mentioned Jacobs to the Packers, which I hate as a Lions fan, and Eckler to the Commanders. All those pieces moving around. But Henry, of all those guys, is the one that I'm watching the most closely.
It's going to be interesting to see what they do next year. Doug, do you agree? Would you buy Derrick Henry cards right now over Kirk Cousins or Josh Jacobs or Sam Darnold or Saquon Barkley, or are you going in one of these other directions?
I would buy King Henry over some of those names, over any other running back that you name for sure, but not over any quarterback, because we know what quarterbacks mean. Darnold will get a bump. That's just how it's going to be. He may be terrible, but he's going to get a bump just because he's moved into a situation where he might play. That is, of course, if he can keep Justin Jefferson around, who's swirling in the rumors right now that he could go to Cincinnati, so maybe now's the time to get on Burrow. I've already, you know, I said last week I thought it was time to buy Joe Burrow, but now if he were to have Chase and Justin Jefferson?
Yeah, that would be pretty ridiculous.
That would be out of control. That's something to keep an eye out for.
Are they talking about Jefferson to the Bengals?
It's a rumor.
For T. Higgins out?
Yeah, Higgins out, Justin Jefferson in.
Oh, boy.
Definitely a rumor. I'm probably, you know, probably not going to happen, but that'd be the most fun passing game in the NFL, you would have to think at that point.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, all of this stuff is super interesting. I agree with you. Long-term, it's quarterbacks. So if Kirk Cousins comes here to Atlanta and
that's hopeful,
you know, if something actually happens with this team, he's certainly got a lot of weapons around him that could move things. But, you know, in terms of running backs, with Henry, I'm just a little worried. Are we kind of towards the tail end of his effectiveness? Because you hit that wall as a running back. We're kind of getting there. At least with Saquon Barkley, he's a few years younger. Yeah, so you got a little bit of time left ahead. But it's certainly going to be interesting to see what all these guys do in the fall. And this is just the beginning. You know, we got the draft around the corner.
Yep.
This is just the beginning.
I'm probably nervous if I'm holding a lot of Justin Herbert right now. He just lost another weapon.
Yeah, he did.
You know, coaching change. Who knows what's going to happen with the offense and what that looks like going forward. Yep. That's one I'm probably not excited if I'm holding a bunch of.
Yeah, I don't know. All right, guys, let's go to our second mailbag question. One thing that we can be certain of is the fact that you're not going to find Caitlin Clark in Topps products. You're only going to find Caitlin Clark in Panini products going forward, because Caitlin Clark has signed an exclusive multi-year deal with Panini that covers both trading cards and signed memorabilia. It's actually the first time that Panini has ever signed a female athlete like this. And apparently, according to a report from Sportico, she's going to be paid more than $1 million in her first year of this exclusive deal with Panini. So we're talking some pretty big money here for Caitlin Clark as well. Is this fair game? Is this good for Panini? Is it good for the hobby? Good. Start with you. I'll start with you, Doug. We got to start with you on this one.
Yeah, it's good for Panini, sure. And this isolated incident, I'm fine with it because they have the WNBA Prism license. We definitely need Caitlin Clark to be in WNBA Prism. But exclusivities as a whole, I cannot stand. I don't know how anybody would be a fan of exclusivities, you know, in their entirety. We've already seen how just exclusive autographs have hurt us in recent products with Wembanyama, with CJ Stroud. We're talking about two of the best guys in their respective classes in flagship products that won't have autographs. That's awful. Mm-hmm. Now you, with Caitlin Clark, she can't even have cards in another product, unlicensed or anything like that. So in that particular case, it's fine because, you know, Panini has that license. Now, when all the licenses shift going forward to Fanatics, all of these exclusives that Panini are buying up are going to hurt us going forward. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, exclusives like that are terrible for the hobby, terrible for it.
Yeah.
But, you know, what are you going to do? There's no way around it. It's a money game.
You agree with this, Teapot, or you think Doug's overstating things?
Well, first off, I would just say Caitlin Clark, like, blows me away how talented she is. I mean, she can shoot as well as anybody on the planet, I think. I can't wait next year to see, like, Caitlin Clark and Dame versus Sabrina and Steph in the three-point contest. I think that would be really exciting. In this case, you know, my initial reaction was like yours, like, yeah, come on, like, why is this happening again? But in this case, it might be good. And the reason it might be good is because Panini's trying to build up the WNBA hobby collecting community, and you're not going to have them and Topps overdoing it. Now, whether or not Panini overdoes it remains to be seen. I hope they'll produce more, leverage that relationship, grow it over time, not overdo it to where they oversaturate those products next year and kind of kill the overall appeal of it. But overall, I think it could be, you know, could be a good thing in this particular case.
Okay, that's kind of an interesting take. We'll see how that plays out. I do like, you know, women's basketball feels like has gotten more attention in the last like 6 to 12 months than it has gotten in year, like the last 5 years prior to that combined. Maybe that's just my perception, but I'm seeing
it. No, it's true. They've gotten more, the ratings have been higher for women's basketball than men's college basketball over the past month, and it's specifically because of Caitlin Clark.
It's been nuts. It's Caitlin Clark, but then also the South Carolina LSU battle and all that kind of stuff. I mean, it's really intriguing. So I think it's great that money's being paid to Caitlin Clark and that type of emphasis is being put on female sports cards. I love that part. I hate the exclusivity part, Doug. I hate it. And it's not just a Panini issue. It's a Topps issue. It's a Fanatics issue. Bad. I don't like when they do it either.
It's like they're taking their fight for acquisition to exclusivities now. And like that's how this is going to play out.
I don't like any of it. I don't like any of it. All right, guys. Hopefully you, though, liked the show. And if you did, please give it a like. Please give it a subscribe. Check out all the weekly auctions at PWCC Marketplace. Link is below. And check out Cards HQ Shop or Cards HQ Breaks on Whatnot. We are live right now. We appreciate you guys, and we'll see you soon in the next episode. Take care.